So if we didn't have a lockdown, what a number it could have been. A Q2 GDP 2.8. Astonishing. But Q3, the period we're now in, it'll kill it and more. Finance Minister Grant Robertson, good morning.
Morning, Mike.
Now, I know you're going to say it's a tricky business, but I mean, if you're forecasting 1.1%, or even 1.7%, which was somewhere in the consensus area, and it comes in at 2.8, how is all that economic activity going on in front of you and you can't see it?
Yeah, well, I'm not a forecaster, and so I'm not going to be able to answer that question directly. I think there's a natural conservatism because we haven't seen quarterly growth like this since 1999, 2000, with the exception of the September bounce last year. So I think the forecasters are just cautious because they haven't seen it before. I know anecdotally in the period running into this outbreak, as I was going around the country and talking to businesses, there was an awful lot happening right across the board, construction through to services industries. It was really obvious to me when I was out and about seeing it, running up against those labour constraints and one or two of those supply constraints. But no, look, it's a sign of the resilience of the New Zealand economy, and that hopefully when we get out of this outbreak, we can see that again.
Is it a sign of a lot of debt in the market?
Oh, there's debt around, for sure. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But this is real growth. I mean, you can see that within construction, within manufacturing, within the primary sector, which, again, has really done incredibly well, and our export receipts are a big part of why New Zealand is doing well. So, yeah, there's debt here, as there is everywhere in the world, but there's real growth here too.
At 2.8%, even if we hadn't gone into Q3 and wrecked it, the wheels would have fallen off, wouldn't it? We can't handle 2.8 per quarter. We're just not up for it.
Oh, you certainly, if you had 2.8 every quarter, the economy would be running at a level nobody had seen in our history. But, you know, we can still get solid rates of growth out of that. And I think, you know, those labour supply constraints were really the number one issue that business was raising. And clearly they were still going to be there even if we hadn't have had the outbreak, because we still would have had the border restrictions and so on. So, yeah, we wouldn't have seen 2.8 for quarter after quarter. But as I say, I still think there's a very solid strain of resilience and growth here. There's good business investment in here, which is really encouraging. So I appreciate the fact, you know, the game changed on the 17th of August, but this does show that December quarter should be a good one.
And what a shame it did. If only you'd rolled out the vaccine and we didn't have a lockdown, what could have been?
Look, and we can spend a lot of time on could have been, couldn't we? But, you know, around the world, Delta arrived, and we got it in New Zealand on the 17th of August. We are in a good position to come back from it. And I think New Zealand businesses generally, you know, have that understanding. It's hard for some in some sectors. I absolutely see that. But if we get Auckland to level 3 next week, that means, according to last time, about 85 to 90% of economic activity starts again. That gives us a good base to move forward from.
Trouble is, you've gone and, to put it bluntly, pissed off everyone else around the country by saying they can't go to one despite the fact they've got no cases until Auckland. Just to make this clear, does Auckland need to move to two before the country moves to one?
Well, the signal the Prime Minister gave yesterday is that while we're concerned that we haven't fully got our hands around the outbreak, if there is transmission going on in the community, then we do need higher levels of restrictions than we would normally see. So, yeah, it's unlikely to see the rest of the country go to one while Auckland's at three, but we'll make each decision as we come to it.
But you could go to one if Auckland was at two, though?
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of labour constraints, project manager story, you won't have seen it this week, but a bloke's been doing a whole bunch of jobs because he can't replace anybody. He's after a project manager. He's into infrastructure. He's partly involved in the Three Waters thing. Anyway, he's advertising the job, or jobs, $140,000. Average wage for the job is $95,000. Not a single New Zealander's applied. What's he supposed to do?
Yeah, it's tough in that project management space, and it's one of the reasons why that category of people is part of those who are coming in through MIQ. We've actually had a number of those people come in the construction sector in recent times. So that's the way forward for that person right now. If you genuinely can't find anyone in New Zealand, it's a very competitive area, but that is indeed why we make spaces in our MIQ for people within that sector.
Going back to the growth number and how real it is versus how much of it's fueled by debt, there were some numbers out by Dotlub's data this week. 3 months before August, there were 12,000 business closures. Number of new businesses that opened nationally in the last 3 months was 7,625. So 12,000 closed, 7,625 open. That doesn't sound very robust to me.
Yeah, I think I'd need to go back and have a look at the churn in business openings and closures. What I do know is through the COVID period, we didn't experience as many closures as we thought we would. So I'd need to compare that data to previous years. But I know the numbers don't lie in this case, Mike. You know, when you get into the construction industry, primary industries, service sector, you've got most of the economy there, and they were all showing really solid signs of growth.
Quick comment on housing. The numbers came out again this week. Your tilt to the first home buyer doesn't appear to be working. Across the Tasman, the Reserve Bank of Australia this week said, look, this isn't our problem, because they've got the same issue we have. This isn't our problem. It's the government's problem. Why do they say that? And Adrian says something completely different, and he's in like a robber's dock.
Well, you definitely need to put that question to Adrian. From my perspective, it's always been both monetary and fiscal policy, essentially, and government policy. We've put ourselves out there with the interest deductibility and the bright line test changes and so on, plus the building programs that we got. I would challenge part of the premise there, Mike. We actually have seen a shift from away from investors. I think it's down around about 17% from in the mid-20s. So there is a shift, but the overall house price inflation's got a big lag in it. And that'll take some time to come down.
All right, appreciate your time. Have a good weekend. The Deputy Prime Minister, Finance Minister, Grant Robertson.